ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಪೂರ್ಣಮದಃ ಪೂರ್ಣಮಿದಂ ಪೂರ್ಣಾತ್ ಪೂರ್ಣಮುದಚ್ಯತೆ ಪೂರ್ಣಸ್ಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಮಾದಾಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಮೇವಾವಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಸದ್ಗುರು ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ವಿವೇಕ ಚೂಡಾಮಣಿ, ಶ್ಲೋಕ 121. ಸರ್ವ ಪ್ರಕಾರ ಪ್ರಮಿತಿ ಪ್ರಶಾಂತಿ ಬೀಜಾತ್ಮನಾವಸ್ಥಿತಿರೇವ ಬುದ್ಧೇ ಸುಷುಪ್ತಿರೇತಸ್ಯ ಕಿಲ ಪ್ರತೀತಿ ಕಿಂಚಿನ್ನ ವೇದ್ಮೀತಿ ಜಗತ್ ಪ್ರಸಿದ್ಧೇ. ಸೊ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ನೌ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಕಾರಣ ಶರೀರಂ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ಲಿ ದಿ ಸುಷುಪ್ತಿ ಅವಸ್ಥ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಶ್ಲೋಕಾಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಹವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಶ್ಲೋಕ 121. ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಆಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ, ಶ್ಲೋಕ ನಂಬರ್ 120. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸುಷುಪ್ತಿ? ಸರ್ವ ಪ್ರಕಾರ ಪ್ರಮಿತಿ ಪ್ರಶಾಂತಿ. ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈನ್, ಸರ್ವ ಪ್ರಕಾರ ಪ್ರಮಿತಿ ಪ್ರಶಾಂತಿ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಇನ್ ವಿಚ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಕಾಗ್ನಿಟಿವ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಪರ್ಸೆಪ್ಟಿವ್ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ರಿಸಾಲ್ವ್ಡ್. ಪ್ರಮಿತಿ, ಪ್ರಮಿತಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಕಾಗ್ನಿಟಿವ್ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್, ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಟೈಪ್ ಆಫ್ ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್? ಸರ್ವ ಪ್ರಕಾರ, ಆಲ್ ಟೈಪ್ಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ವೈ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಸೇ ಆಲ್ ಟೈಪ್ಸ್? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ದೇ ಸೇ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ 6 ವೇಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನೋಯಿಂಗ್. ಈಚ್ ವೇ ಆಫ್ ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಎ ಪ್ರಮಾಣಂ. ಅಂಡ್ ದ 6 ಪ್ರಮಾಣಾಸ್ ಆರ್ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ, ಅನುಮಾನ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ, ಅರ್ಥಾಪತ್ತಿ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ, ಉಪಮಾನ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ, ಅನುಪಲಬ್ಧಿ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ ಅಂಡ್ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ. ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ 6 ವೇಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಟೈಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನೋಯಿಂಗ್. ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದ ಡೀಟೇಲ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಈಚ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಮ್ ಹಿಯರ್. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಅಡೆಕ್ವೆಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ನೋ ದಟ್ ದರ್ ಆರ್ 6 ಸಚ್ ಟೈಪ್ಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಈಚ್ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ ದಿ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಮಿತಿ. ಸೊ ದ ವೇ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ಆಪರೇಷನ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಮಿತಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ, ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್, ಇಫ್ ಯು ದಿ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಂ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಥ್ರೂ ವಿಚ್ ವಿ ಅನಲೈಸ್ ದ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಂ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಪ್ರಮಿತಿ. ಹಿಯರ್ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ 6 ವೇಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನೋಯಿಂಗ್, that is all the knowing operations, are suspended in deep sleep state, namely in the sushupti avastha, prashantihi. That's what he says, prashantihi. So all these operations are done by whom? They are all done by buddhihi, which is called the pramata. We are now introducing a few terms. Some of these terms you are already familiar, perhaps I have already introduced in elsewhere. So the buddhi, which is called pramata, so the instruments are pramanas and the pramas process is pramiti and the object is called prameyam. So pramata, by operating the pramana, comes to know the prameyam through the past process called pramiti. So that is how the process is. So all these are suspended in sushupti. They are not destroyed, be careful, they are not destroyed, but they are suspended. That means all the faculties are very much there in dormant condition. Actually, in the second line, if you look at it, buddhehe bijatmana avastitihi. The buddhi continues in the dormant form, dormant condition, non-functional condition or non-operative condition, or we can even call it hibernation condition. Like the polar bear and all those things, you know, they are as good as dead during the hibernating period. So it is their nirvikalpaka samadhi. Swamiji calls it as a nirvikalpaka samadhi of the polar bear. We don't have to think it is something very big or anything. Every polar bear is in nirvikalpaka samadhi during winter. So they do it normally and we do it by practicing yoga. That's all the difference. The blood activity, metabolism, all those things, they all almost come to a standstill, nothing. That is why they don't need food intake for months together. It's nature has designed them like that. So we are all experiencing sushupti every day. It is almost like an extended, it is extended in its, it, the extended form of that is hibernation, almost. It is nothing but intensive, deeper and extensive, long time sushupti. So it is an intensive sushupti, intensive, deeper sushupti and extensive, long time sushupti. That is hibernation. So he says, bijatmana vastitihi kasya buddhehe of the pramata. So bijatmana vastitihi buddhehe eva sushuptihi. And we have to connect buddhi here. It is called sushupti. And etasya pratiti pratitihi. How do we experience that sushupti? If he asks, then he says, kinchinna vedmi iti kila pratitihi. The feeling of sushupti is kinchit na kinchinna vedmi. I did not know anything. I slept like a log of wood. I had such a great sleep. I did not experience anything. This is the pratitihi. So this is the feeling of sushupti avastha, and Shankaracharya says this feeling is not a unique thing that I have to teach you. For example, samadhi, etc., all those things, people may want to know what it is. Samadhi, savikalpaka samadhi, nirvikalpaka samadhi, people say those terms, they may want to know what it is. But Shankaracharya says, I need not teach you that feeling because jagat prasiddehe. Every human being has experienced it several times. Every day we are experiencing the sushupti avastha. Shloka 122. Dehendriya prana manoha madayaha sarve vikara vishaya sukhadayaha vyomadi bhutanyakilam cha vishvam avyakta paryantam idam hyanatma. So with the previous shloka, shloka 121, the karana shariram topic is concluded, which is actually a subdivision of the major topic of anatma, which was the main topic of discussion we have been seeing. And even before that, the student has asked 7 questions. If you remember the shloka 49, that is where the question started from the student. Ko nama bandaha katameva agataha katam pratishtasya katam vimokshaha kosavanatma paramakatma tayor vivekaha katameda tuchyatam. This is the shloka number 49, which had 7 questions. So throughout the Viveka Chudamani study, we should remember this shloka, and the shloka number may be also 49, of which we are dealing with the first question now, that is kaha anatma. That is what we have. What is anatma is the question, anatma topic, and that has started from shloka number 72. So first he dealt with the sthula shariram, the grass body. Next he dealt with the sukshma shariram, the subtle body, and later with the karana shariram, the causal body. So from 72 to 121 shlokas, the 3 shariras or the anatma in general was discussed in detail by the acharya. Now in shlokas 122 and 123, the author winds up the topic of anatma. And he also adds an extra note, which is also equally important, because in all these shlokas, Shankaracharya points out that sharira trayam is anatma. That is the sthula shariram, sukshma shariram and karana shariram, the sharira trayam. It is anatma. Then naturally the question will come, what about the external world? If the body, all the 3 bodies are anatma, what about the jagat, the external world? And so in these 2 shlokas, Shankaracharya, he adds a note that the sharira trayam is the main anatma, but in that we should also include the entire prapancha trayam also. That is, along with the sthula shariram, we should include the sthula prapancha, the grass universe. Along with the sukshma shariram, we should include the sukshma prapancha. And along with the karana shariram, we should include the karana prapancha also. That means the entire cosmos of our experience is anatma, is not atma. And that is said in these 2 shlokas. Now if you look at the 3rd and 4th lines of the shloka, akilam idam vishvam anatma bhavati. The whole universe, akilam idam vishvam, that we experience is anatma. That is, whatever we experience is anatma only. And when we say that, it considers 3 things. The external world is an object of experience. my own body is an object of experience, and my own mind also is an object of experience. So the world, the body, the mind are all anatma only actually. And when we listen to this, we may be even surprised, because if everything that I experience is anatma, that means what? There is nothing other than what I experience. Therefore, how can there be an atma at all? Because whatever is I experience is anatma. So everything I'm experiencing. So how can there be an atma at all? Because whatever I know have been dubbed as anatma. So like the Trivikrama, you know, in the Vamana Avatara, he measured everything. Then the question comes, if the earth and the entire universe is measured in two steps, where is the place for the third step? Similarly, if everything experienced is anatma, where is the place for atma? That will be answered actually in the next section. Here he just tells, whatever you experience is anatma. And from this, we also get an important corollary, that atma is never experienced by anyone as an object. Extremely important conclusion. Therefore, no one should work for an atma experience at all. Because if you get any experience, it will come under what? It will come under anatma only. If people claim, okay, I had a nice experience of atma, that means comes under anatma only. So whether ordinary or extraordinary experience, never look for atma experience at all, because it is never experienced. That is why Shankaracharya says, idam akilam vishvam, this akilam anatma. And he adds, avyakta paryantam. When I say the vishvam, we should also include the causal form of the universe, which is maya or avyaktam. If you remember all the various words for maya, avyaktam was one. So avyakta paryantam, not only the karana prapancha, karya prapancha is anatma, it includes the avyakta condition, the karana condition, the unmanifest dormant condition, potential condition. That is why we say that even in sushupti, in deep sleep, when you get a blank experience, that blankness also comes under vishwam alone, which is karana prapanchaha. So in fact, what we call as shunyam or blankness is not nothingness. In Vedanta, shunyam is not nothingness. Shunyam is zero. That is why they say Indians have discovered zero. Zero is not emptiness, but the potential form of the entire universe is zero. And the zero is also anatma only. Therefore, avyakta paryantam up to maya, idam sarvam anatma bhavati. Having made actually a general statement here, now he gives the details. Sarve vikaraha anatma. In the second line, he says, we have to add anatma everywhere. All the products are anatma. Vikaraha means products. The word vikara has got actually two meanings according to the context. For example, one meaning is modification. When we say shad vikaraha, the sixfold modifications, asti, jagate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. When we say all the sixfold modifications, it should not be translated as product here, but as modifications or change. And the second meaning is, in this context, it should not be taken as, it should be translated as product, but as mod. But what it should be done? For example, all the ornaments are all called the vikaras of gold. All furnitures, they are all vikaras of wood. The entire creation is only a vikara, it's a change. So sarve vikaraha, all the karyas, all the products, karya means products, all the products are anatma only. And the karyam or the product itself can be subdivided further. And now if you take the entire anatma, first you can broadly divide it into karya prapancha and karana prapancha. And then the karya prapancha can be divided into two. And what are those? Bhuta prapancha, namely the five elements, and Baudhika Prapancha, the elementals. He says, Vyomadi Bhutani, the five elements, starting from Vyom Akasha, Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Apaha, Prithivi, all these five elements, they are all anatma. And the Baudhika Prapancha, that is the products of the five elements, Acharya has not used actually the word Bhautika Prapancha here, but we have to supply. And the Bhautika Prapancha itself can be further subdivided into, just as, you know, as a way of division. That's all. We have to understand it's only for convenience. The Bahya Bhautika Prapancha, the external elementals, and the Antara Bhautika Prapancha, the internal elementals, subjective. So now if you take the classification, Anatma divided into two, Karya Prapancha, Karana Prapancha, and Karya Prapancha itself is divided into two, Bhuta Prapancha and Bhautika Prapancha, and Bhautika Prapancha itself is divided into two, Bahya Prapancha and Antara Prapancha. And what is the subjective Bhautika Prapancha? That is given in the first line, Deha, Indriya, Prana, Mana, Ahamadayaha. The Sthula Shariram, that is the Deha, body, the sense organs, the Indriyas, the Pancha Pranas, Pranadeha, mind, Manaha, and Aham. Aham means the Ahankara. So in fact, Deha corresponds to the Annamaya Kosha. All of them Adeha. Adeha means etc. They all come under what? Subjective Bhautika Prapancha. And then if you look at the second line, Vishayaha. Vishayaha means the external Bhautika Prapancha, namely the sense objects, that is Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, all those. They all come under also Anatma. So Karya Prapancha, Karana Prapancha, Bhuta Prapancha, subjective Bhautika Prapancha, objective Bhautika Prapancha, they all come under only Anatma. That is what we should say. And so not only that, Sukhadayaha, not the subjective Bhautika, now the subjective Bhautika Prapancha, otherwise called the body mind complex, and the objective Bhautika Prapancha called the world, both of them interact constantly. So Krishna says actually in the Bhagavad Gita, Indriyani Indriyarteshu Vartante, Gunaha Guneshu Vartante. There is interaction between the subjective Bhautika Prapancha and the objective Bhautika Prapancha. That is why when the temperature is higher, the body begins to respond by sweating. When the temperature is low, the body responds by shivering. Thus, all interactions, they produce varieties of responses in the form of sukham, dukham, and all those things. So they are all the properties of Bhautika Prapancha born out of interaction. So Sukhadayaha, in the 13th chapter of Gita, Krishna uses the expression kshetram. Iccha dvesha sukham dukham sangatas chetana dhritihi etat kshetram samasena savikaram udahritam. So he called it kshetram. So what we are discussing is the entire kshetram only, along with its properties, namely sukham, dukham, raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, all those. So the acharya uses the word idam, which is a technical significance. Idam means this entire universe is anatma. And in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna uses the word idam shariram kaunteya kshetramitya vidhiyate. According to Vedanta, the whole world consists of only two things, aham and idam. Only two things only. Aham means the subject, chetanam drik, and idam, the object, achetanam drishyam. The jadam, jagat, and anatma, they are all this one, anatma. By using the word idam, Shankara is excluding the word aham, which will be discussed actually later. He is going to discuss in detail aham, the atma topic, later. But at the moment, by using the word idam, he excluded atma in this topic. Shloka 123. Actually, this shloka is in irregular meter. This is in the Vishamavrittam. You know, it's a Vishamavrittam. We already, Samavrittam and Vishamavrittam, we already spoke about it. They cannot be chanted. Like, you cannot come into any musical pattern. It should be only read like a prose, even though this is also a poem only, classification-wise. So only Samavritta poems can be chanted or recited. So we will read this shloka, shloka 123. Maya, maya karyam sarvam mahadadi deha paryanantam asadidamanatma tattvam vidyitvam marumarichika kalpam. So this shloka also is this is a winding up shloka of the anatma topic. Anatma topic is going to be concluded. The previous and this shlokas, they are all winding up shlokas. So what is anatma in general? Maya, maya karyam, anatma, anatma tattvam viddhi. First line. Maya, maya means the karana prapancha or prakriti. If you remember all the words for maya, maya, karana prapancha, prakriti, avidya, avyaktam, shaktihi, all these terms we already saw earlier. So all these words are all synonymous. They connote only one thing, namely the basic matter principle. And we may call it as a basic energy also, which comes under again inert matter only. So many people mistake consciousness as a form of energy. It's not so in Vedanta. Why? Since energy is only a modified form of matter, it is as much achetanam as matter. And the second reason is, any form of matter is subject to transformation into another form of energy. So any energy is savikaram and achetanam, whereas consciousness is chetanam and nirvikaram. So it should never be taken as a form of energy. So all energy should be taken as maya only, the basic form of matter. And maya karyam, all the products of maya, that is both the karanam and the karyam, both the universal mother and her kids and their children, products are children, and they both come under maya only. And what all will come under maya karyam then? Remember the previous shloka, bhuta prapanchaham, bhautika prapanchaham, which is subdivided into bahya prapancha and antara prapancha. All these things come under the products of maya. So anatma tattvam, they will all come under anatma principle only. And now in this shloka, Shankaracharya is presenting the product of maya in a different format. In the previous shloka, the product of maya were presented as bhuta prapancha and bhautika prapancha, bahya bhautikam and antara bhautikam and all that. But here Shankaracharya gives another format based on the Sankhya system of philosophy. In Sankhya system, they explain the creation in a particular form. They say that maya is the root cause called mula prakriti. We are talking about Sankhya system. Don't confuse Vedanta. So they call in Sankhya system, they call the maya is called the root cause or the mula prakriti. And from maya, the immediate product that comes out is called mahatattvam. This is the technical word. When maya has evolved, it becomes mahat. And from mahat, the next evolution is called ahankara. So from maya to mahat to ahankara. Then from ahankara, 16 tattvas or categories or principles, they evolve. Namely, dasha indriyani, that is 10 organs of action and sense organs. Pancha jnanendriyani, pancha karmendriyani, and pancha sukshma bhutani, the 5 subtle elements. So 10 plus 5 equals 15, and manaha, the mind. 15 plus 1, 16. So all the 16 items, they are born out of ahankara. That which are the 16 again? Pancha jnanendriyani, 5, pancha karmendriyani, 5, and then pancha sukshma bhutani, 5, and manas, 16 altogether. So totally prakriti, mahat, ahankara and all these. So and the 16, all these together is 19. 16, this 16 and maya, prakriti, mahat and ahankara. And from the 5 subtle elements are born the 5 gross elements. So 5 plus 19 equals 24. And this is called chatur vimshati tattvani in Sankhya philosophy. So maya or prakriti to mahat to ahankara, and then from that 16, and then the 5 subtle elements become 5 gross elements, all put together 24. And based on this only, in Tattvabodha also Acharya said, Atha chaturvimshati tattvopatti prakaram vakshyamaha. He borrowed this Sankhya idea only. And of these 24 principles, the first one alone is called, the first one is cause. The Maya alone is cause and it is never an effect. Maya, Prakriti is never an effect, it is the cause. Whereas that's why it's called Mula Prakriti. Whereas the later 23 principles are all effects. So among the 24 tattvas, Maya alone is the cause and the remaining 23 are effects. So Maya is Karanam and the other 23 are Karyams. And totally 24 tattvams, all of them come under Anatma alone. So he says, Mahadadi Deha Paryantam. Beginning with Mahat Tattvam, Maya, the original cause, is already enumerated and the effect begins from Mahat onwards. So Maya was already enumerated, we are done with that subject. Now from Mahat onwards, that's what is to be discussed. So when we enlist Anatma, we have to begin with Maya, but when we have to talk about Anatma products, we begin with Mahat. So Maya and Maya products, Maya Karyam, Maya already is done, Maya Karyam will start with Mahat. So Deha Paryantam, up to the physical body, so all these 24, they all come under Anatma Tattvam. And he adds also two more notes, additional notes, most important part actually to be noted, Asat. Asat means Mithya. This entire Anatma, consisting of the 24 tattvas, it is all mithya. In fact, this is one of the basic differences between Sankhya philosophy and Vedanta. They also talk about 24 tattvas. Vedanta also accepts 24 tattvas. They also say Prakriti Maya is the Karanam, and so does Vedanta also. They also say that all of them have got three gunas, three gunatmika Maya, and we also say the same thing. And Sankhya and Vedanta are identical in all these respects. That is why Sankhya philosophy is heavily borrowed in Vedanta. Even the word Sankhya is borrowed. That is why the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called the Sankhya Yoga. Then where do we differ? If both of them are identical in all these respects, where do Sankhya and Vedanta differ? In that single word, Asat. Shankaracharya shows the difference between the Sankhya and Vedanta. Asat. In Sankhya philosophy, Maya also is real. Shakti also is real. Actually, in Saiva Siddhanta, they talk about many things and they are very close to Vedanta only. They say, see, you say Shiva is real. That's what the Saiva Siddhanta people, they tell. You say Shiva is real, but Shakti is unreal. We don't like that. The Shaivites, they don't like it. Swamiji says, perhaps that is also because of maybe male domination Vedanta. The Advaitins are all male chauvinists. We don't know. So Vedantins' answer is what? If Shakti represents Chaitanyam, then Shakti is real. That is why when we worship Shakti, we symbolize Shakti both as Atma as well as Anatma. Shakti is Atma, it is reality. Shakti as Anatma, it is unreal. Actually, if you take the Lalita Sahasranama Stotra, Chitchaktis Chetana Rupa Jada Shaktir Jadatmika. When we say Chitchakti, Chitchakti Chetana Rupa, Devi is Brahman, the ultimate reality, Chetana Tattvam. And when we say Jada Shaktir Jadatmika, Devi is Achetanam, unreal, Maya. So the Vedantin does not dismiss Shakti totally. We ask the question, what does Shakti represent? If you are worshipping Shakti as only Prakriti or Maya, you will be in trouble. But if you worship Shakti as both Prakriti and Purusha, both Chitshakti and Jada Shakti, or worshipping as Chitshakti alone, then it's fine. But only as Prakriti will be a problem. That is why the uniqueness of Vedanta is matter is unreal, whereas in Sankhya philosophy, matter is also real. That is why Sankhya philosophers are all Dvaitins. So also the Nyaya philosophers, they are also Dvaitins. Whereas in Vedanta, the whole thing is Asat, is Mithya. Like what? Example given is in this shloka, Maru Marichika Kalpam. Comparable to Kalpam. Comparable, Kalpam means comparable to. The whole Anatma is comparable to what? Maru Marichika. Maru Marichika means the mirage water. What is that? we can explain this mirage water both technically and practically. Mirage water is something that we all experience but doesn't have an existence of its own. Similarly, the entire anatma is experienced but doesn't have an existence of its own. That is why asat means na vidyate swayam sat asya, that which does not have the natural existence. Swayam sat, intrinsic existence. Like for example, this desk. Is this desk sat or asat? It is asat only because we experience it, all right, we use it, everything is done, but there is no such substance called a desk. The substance is only wood and wood alone. Desk is only vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam. Desk has got only verbal existence. It does not have substantial existence. This is the technical definition of asat. Now let us come to the practical definition also. What is maru marichika? Mirage water is very tempting for appearance, but it can never remove our thirst and give us fulfillment. The more one goes towards it, the more it recedes away, and it can never give anybody tripti. If you extend that to the world, anything that you accomplish in the world, one will not get peace of mind, tripti or fulfillment. You will like to get more, more. Just as the mirage water can seemingly give fulfillment, worldly accomplishments also, until we'll accomplish, it is attractive, it is seductive, it is tempting. Our mind tells, once we accomplish it, life will be full. That's what mind will tell us, tempting. That is why till we get it, we go on after that. And once you go near, then we will see its real perspective, the anityam. The whole thing is only seeming. That pleasure was not there when we go near them. So how do we know? Because the moment we accomplish that, we are ready for the question, what next? Whether it is getting people like wife, children, husband, grandchildren, whatever it is, or whether it is wealth like house, money, land, property, whether it is other status like presidentship, this prime ministership, whatever it is, anything, they are all tempting. And when we actually have them, they don't give fulfillment at all. And what is the Vedantic reason? Because they all don't have substantiality of their own. They are fake or imitation accomplishments, and therefore relative accomplishments. And if you want to get fulfillment, one has to turn away from anatma. Swamiji gives the example of the hardboard chair, a chair which was made by using hardboard. And they did lot of decorations also on that. They pasted lot of color papers, this, that and all, made it look extremely very attractive. What can be done? It can be kept in a showcase, or maybe we can use it during Navaratri, during our kolos and all that things. We cannot do anything else with that. If you go and sit on that, one will break his head. That's all will happen because it will fall. It is not, it cannot be used. So this we should remember. Similarly, the whole world is wonderful from a distance. We can appreciate it. We can admire it. We can use it. We can handle it. We can move with it. We can do everything with it except one thing. Never psychologically lean over them for emotional security, for fulfillment, for any of those. For any of these things important in life, one can never lean on the world. So what will happen? If already person knows, that's wonderful. If a person doesn't know, perhaps one might imagine, or by inference one can know. If one cannot learn from inference also, then one has to, sooner or later, will learn it through the hard way. Swamiji says, note it in the diary. When that time comes, read. Anatma, we cannot lean for peace, security, fulfillment or happiness. One cannot lean on anatma for any of those things. Vedanta is not in any hurry at all. One can experiment, one can see, one can experience, one can go through life. Pariksha lokan karmachitan nirveda maya nasya krita kritena. One can try to do that. So once you get this knowledge that anatma is asat, it is called nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. And once the viveka, this viveka comes, vairagya is very natural, because I will keep the hardboard chair, I won't sit over that, but look for another solid chair. Looking for another solid chair is called atma vicharaha. And therefore, hereafter we are going to find out the real chair, which we can comfortably sit on and relax, which is anatma. Shloka, which is atma. So shloka 124. Atha te sampravakshyami swarupam paramatmanah yad vijnayana robandhat mukta kaivalyam ashnute. So with shloka 123, the anatma topic was concluded. Of the 7 questions asked by the student, if you remember shloka 49, one question has been already answered. And that question was, Kosavanatma was answered already. What is the anatma? Now the Acharya answers the second topic, namely, Parama Kaha Atma. What is Paramatma? For which he is giving the introduction in this shloka. Atate Sampravakshyami. Now, after dealing with anatma, now I shall deal with atma. That's what he says. Paramatmanaha Swarupam Sampravakshyami. The nature of Paramatma, I shall narrate to you. And what is the benefit of that knowledge? He says, yat vijnaya. By gaining this Paramatma jnanam, naraha muktaha bhavati. A human being, naraha, will become free from samsara, muktaha bhavati. And so, among all the 7 topics, this topic alone is the main topic. Because we all, if a person who wants to get moksha, this is the topic. The other 6 topics are all only supporting or auxiliary topics. And so Shankaracharya talks about his importance. What is that? Yat vijnaya naraha muktaha bhagavati. The person becomes free. From what? Bandhat. From all bondages. And what do we mean by bondage again? It is not a physical bondage. All bondages are only mental, psychological in nature. We are not able to get out of the raga bondage, dvesha bondage, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mata, matsaryadi, all that, dukkham. So all these are all, they are all tightly holding on to us. And even if I want to give them up, I am not able to, since we are under their grip. We figuratively say that we are all bound. So here the bondage is a psychological bondage, not a physical bondage. And there is a philosophical bondage also here, because I am identified with the body. I look upon myself as one confined to the body. It is like a type of imprisonment only. In imprisonment, what happens? One is confined to a prison, which is only of a particular size. Here, every ajnani is imprisoned in the physical body because he looks upon himself as a small individual, imprisoned in or confined to a cell, which is of the size of maybe 5 feet or 5 feet, 6 inches, 6 feet, whatever. A jnani is one who has broken this confinement caused by the physical body, by the knowledge that I am not a small individual of the size of 5 feet, 6 inches or 6 feet. I am the consciousness which extends beyond this body. And so I am the all-pervading consciousness. In Aitareya Upanishad, there is an example. The body is compared to a cage and the jivatma to a bird. The ajnani jivatma bird is confined to the body cage, and through knowledge, the ajnani jivatma breaks the body cage. The not physical breaking, it grows out of this bodily limitation and owns up his freedom. So the all-pervading nature, and understands that I am a free bird who is present everywhere in the Aitareya Upanishad. So nothing can limit me, including this physical body, he understands. Therefore, philosophical bondage is deha abhimana. So the psychological bondage and the philosophical bondage. So psychological bondage is raga dveshas, all those things, raga dvesha, kama, krodha, all those things. Here this is the philosophical bondage, dehabhimana. Atma jnanam will remove both psychological and philosophical bondages. Therefore, muktaha bandhat kaivalyam ashnute. Kaivalyam means moksha. Literally means what? Non-duality is kaivalyam. Kevalaha. Kevalaha means only one. Kaivalyam means I am the only one existent in the world. There is no second thing at all other than me. And if at all I experience a second thing, it is not an independently existent second thing. All those second things are my own extension only, as in dream. In the dream, I experience many second things, but all those are non-independently existing second things. They are all my own glory only, my own creation, born out of me, existing in me, and finally resolving into me. The dream duality is not a real duality at all, because it does not have a separate existence of its own. In the same way, the waking duality also is not an independent duality. Dream duality we can understand, but the waking duality also is not an independent duality. And since no independent duality is there, I only am there. So that is kevalaha. Keval only. So Shankaracharya, he writes actually 10 beautiful shlokas called Dasha Shloki, where he says, Na varna na varna shramachara dharma na me dharana dhyana yogada yopim anatmashrayodam trayoham mamadhya sahanaha tadeko vasishtaha shiva kevaloham. That the Acharya brings out the point, the more I inquire into the world disappears. Without inquiry, everything seems to be there. They all look real. But the more I inquire about the world, everything disappears. And after the disappearance of everything, only one thing remains. And what is that? Tadekaha avasishtaha shiva kevalaha. That is only this non-dual Shiva, aham. And what is the Shiva? Aham asmi. Tadeko vasishtaha shiva kevaloham. That's what he says. Beautiful 10 shlokas. Na shasta, na shastram, na shishyo, na siksha, na chattvam, na chaham, na chayam, prapanchaha. Swarupava bodho vikalpa sahishnuho. Tadeko vasishtaha shiva kevaloham. And the teacher and the scriptures, they all existed as long as I was a student. When I understood the Vedantic teaching, all inquiries also disappeared. Na shasta, there is no teacher. Na shastram, shastram also disappeared. Na siksha, even the teaching is gone. Na sishyaha, even the student is gone. That is my student hood is gone. He is still there. Boy, the person is still there, but the student hood is gone. Anything relative went away. And what remained? Tadeko avashishtaha shiva kevaloham. That absolute I, not the first person singular I, which is related to the second person. This is unrelated first person singular I, that absolute I, the pure awareness, the pure consciousness alone is there. And that status is called Kaivalyam. So Kaivalyam Ashnute. The Shankaracharya introduces the topic of Anatma in this Atma in this shloka. Now on, he elaborates this topic of Atma Swarupam, which is up to shloka number 136. So shlokas 124 to 136, they are all Atma Swarupam. Topic is Atma Swarupam. Shloka 125.
Aschi kaschitvayam nityam aham pratyaya lambanaha avastatraya sakshi san panchakosha vilakshanaha.
So as was said earlier, the Shastras define Atma as pure consciousness, Chaitanyam. And how the Shastras look at consciousness, we must remember. Actually, we have mentioned this several times in so many other occasions, whenever we talked about creation, Vedanta, all that. Now also throughout this discussion, we should remember these few points, which I'll just only list now, even though we have discussed in detail elsewhere. consciousness is not a part, product or property of the body, number one. Number two, consciousness is an independent entity which pervades and enlivens the body. Three, consciousness is not limited by the boundaries of the body. Four, consciousness survives even after the body perishes. And finally, that surviving consciousness we cannot transact or interact with, not because of its absence, but because of the want of the medium, namely the body. This body is gone. This is how the Shastra looks upon the Atma, the Chaitanyam, or the consciousness. And the nearest example that we always give is the light example. For example, in the hand, I have always given this example, the light pervades the entire hand. We have discussed this several times without going into the detail. Only remember that example which I have shown earlier. So we should remember all these points that I just now listed when Shankaracharya defines this Atma. So throughout the topic of Atma, we have to remember whatever I said just now in terms of the various points to be remembered about Atma. Okay. Now, it is this independent consciousness that Shankaracharya will talk about from different angles. He is going to talk about from different angles. He says, Kaschit Asti. There is something called consciousness. Actually, he has not told that. Kaschit Asti only he said, there is something. That's what he said. But we have to supply consciousness here, called consciousness, which is Nityam, which is permanently present. From that itself, it is very clear that, you know, Shankaracharya is not talking about the body. If so, he would not have said Nityam Asti. The very fact that he uses the word Nityam, it is very clear that Shankaracharya is talking about something other than the body, which is eternal, which is Nityam. And what is that eternal thing? It is the consciousness. He will use the word consciousness later, but we should understand. And there is something which is eternally present in the body. And how do we recognize or indicate that consciousness? Which word is the ideal word to represent consciousness? We have to ask these questions. He says, Aham Pratyaya Lambanaha. The most unique word useful to indicate consciousness is Aham, I. It's a very beautiful idea, I. If you analyze the word I, the conscious being, all other words, they can represent only inert things. For example, table, chair, pen, book, they are all inert things. They all can represent only inert objects. And if there is one word which can connect to consciousness, it can be only one word, which is I. Because the word I will be used only by whom? Only by a conscious being. No inert being can use the word I. Therefore, wherever the word I is used, it is a conscious being. Of course, the other way around is not true. You have to be careful. Wherever there is conscious, there is a conscious being. We don't say I is used because tree is there, animals are there. They are also conscious beings. They are conscious entities. They don't use language at all. So not that every conscious being has to use the word I, but wherever the word I is used, it is a conscious being. We can therefore say the word I refers to consciousness. And according to Shastra, the primary meaning of the word I is consciousness alone, Chaitanyam. But what has happened is, when I use the word I, not only it refers to consciousness in me, but it also refers to other things which are associated with consciousness. What are those? The mind, the body, all those. So what happened is, instead of I referring to pure consciousness, it now refers to a mixture of pure consciousness and so many inert things. But what happens later is, consciousness becomes secondary and the body mind becomes primary because of our dehabhimana, association with the body. We even forget there is an independent entity called the conscious principle. It's a mistake committed. Therefore, Aham Pratyaya Lambanaha, there is something called consciousness, which is the object of I thought or I notion. It's an object of the I thought or the I notion. Aham Pratyayaha means what? I thought and Lambanaha means object. So consciousness is the object of the I thought and also the I word. And what does this consciousness do? Avastatraya Sakshi. This consciousness is the illuminator of all the three states of experience. The waking state in which the mind is fully active. It is called Jagrat Avastha. The dream state where the mind is partially active. It is called Swapna Avastha. And the deep sleep state where the mind is passive. That is called Sushupti Avastha. So in all these three states, the awareness is there illumining those states, those avasthas. And so Atma can be defined as Avastatraya Sakshi. And because it is the illuminator of the three states of experiences, the illuminator is different from what it illumines. And therefore, Atma does not have any of the three avasthas at all. Any of the three states of experience, they don't belong to Atma. These three avasthas, they belong to the mind alone. And therefore, the mind is active or passive. Atma never becomes active or passive. It only illumines an active mind or a passive mind. It does not have any. If Atma is subject to active or passive states, then Atma will be what? Savikaram. And should go through all the modifications. Later we are going to see that Atma is free from all types of vikaras, all types of modifications. For example, if you feel dull in the class, the dullness does not belong to Atma, but it belongs to your mind only. So Avastatraya Sakshi, Avastatraya Sakshi San, Pancha Kosha Vilakshanaha. And Atma is different from the five layers of personality. Pancha kosha vilakshanaha. Lokoshas layers. Five different layers. It is different from all of them. Vilakshanaha. Our personality is divided into five layers based on different functions. We have seen this earlier, but I will just only enumerate them here. Annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, and anandamaya kosha. These are the five layers. Shankaracharya himself will explain all the five koshas in detail later. Therefore, we will not go into any detail now. So, these pancha koshas are another name for shariratrayam. We saw the three bodies, the sthula shariram, the sukshma shariram and karana shariram. And the same thing put in a different language, it is called pancha koshas. Shariratrayam reclassified is pancha koshas. Sthula Shariram, it is called Annamaya Kosha, the body, the food sheath. And the Sukshma Shariram is again redivided into three more, namely the Pranamaya Kosha, the Manomaya Kosha, and Vijnanamaya Kosha. These are the three subdivisions more. And the Karana Shariram is called Anandamaya Kosha. Ultimately, three Sharirams only, they are called Pancha Koshas. And what is Atma? Vilakshanaha. It is distinct from all the five shlokas. And it is the witness of all of them also. And that's what Acharya says here. And he will go into the details of describing each of these koshas and all in detail later, which we'll see in the following webinars. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitaha tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasa maheshwaraha sri krishna arpanamastu narayana.